Bible study, I've prepared a message. Jesus is the heart of Christmas. I want to acknowledge from the season, first of all, that we're in, and the culture that we're in, that from the beginning, I understand many Christians try and distance themselves from what culturally we refer to as Christmas. So, like, I'm not talking about Mariah Carey and Hallmark movies and any of that this morning. Won't be in the morning message, right? I'm hoping we can open up to Matthew chapter 1, right? You know, so I also say whenever I bring up Christmas, which is customary this time of year, obviously, that first and foremost, it's important to acknowledge that outside of the angels rejoicing with great joy at the birth of Jesus, this is recorded in Luke chapter 2, I think verse 10, that in the New Testament, we don't see as a custom an annual birthday celebration for Jesus, or anyone of that, for that matter. I'm sure many of you have been in the body of Christ for some time, already know that Christmas was for the first time celebrated in Rome in 354, in Constantinople in 379, in Antioch in 388. What do all these examples have in common? They're centuries after the life of Christ. So I know about the history of the winter solstice. I know about the Egyptian god Horus, right? Like, that's, right? Again, it's not in your Bible. So I know many Christians have a reason to take a dim view on what in the U.S. has become really the summit of our materialism, and that's kind of what the occasion has evolved into. But for me, that's not what celebrating the birth of our Savior is, right? I've personally been able to find I can still celebrate the birth of our Savior without knowing the exact date. I like celebrating birthdays. That's me personally. So I separate it, and I'll give you an example, right, using another blessing in my life, right? My only begotten son, Johnny, was born on May 5th, right? So that day for the rest of my life is going to be special because of the blessing that God gave me on May 5th, right? But for many in the world, what is May 5th?
Cinco de Mayo.
There you go. Cinco de Mayo.
That's right.
Right? And when you think of Cinco de Mayo, do we really celebrate Mexico's victory over the Second French Empire at the Battle of Puebla in 1862?
Many people don't even know what it is.
Maybe you didn't even know that was that well. Right. There was a Battle of Mexico in 1862? No, it's become an occasion for food, salsa music, coronas, margaritas. When it comes to May 5th, I'm not going to let the foolishness of the occasion in the world interfere with what I'm celebrating, right? I still, on May 5th, are going to celebrate my blessing, my only begotten son, right? That was May 5th for me, right? So that's how I've been celebrating birthdays my whole life, right? And if it's an important blessing, I'm going to celebrate it. He isn't the only blessing that I celebrate. Turn your jacket around, boy. Right, take your jacket off. Right, April 13th. Right, what is April 13th? That's the day I wed my wonderful wife. Okay. Exactly. If you didn't know that, right, and I celebrate it. Right, like whether the whole world celebrates it or not. April 25th is the day my princess Priya, with all her anxiety, first blessed us with her presence. Right, I appreciate my blessings. I'm going to celebrate my blessings. Right, if to you April 13th is National Peach Cobbler Day, which it is, if that's what you celebrate, good for you. Right, I'm going to celebrate my wife on April 25th. That's the day when the double helix structure was first discovered in DNA back in 1953. So that's why you celebrate it. I'm going to be celebrating Priya. Right? There's 8 billion people on the planet. There's only 365 days in the year. It means every day approximately 20 million people have their birthday. Plenty of people are celebrating every day. Right? Like, December 25th to me, yeah, the math is bad. Right? It's just the math. Right? Like, December 25th to me is when I celebrate the birth of the greatest blessing that the Lord ever gave me. right? An opportunity at salvation. And I already know we're going to do on December 25th, each of us, what we're going to do. So I'm going to celebrate the greatest gift that God ever gave to the world. That's my message. Jesus is the heart of Christmas. The Christmas season is only possible to fully embrace when we come to know that the heart of this holiday is found in the incarnation of God. God so loved his creation that he went to great lengths to rescue it by sending his son in the flesh to suffer and die. The story of God's love begins in a manger and ends on a cross. We know that. Right? Our prayer, right, is, or my prayer, right, as the day is approaching, as the time has come for us to look back again at the manger and recognize the amazing grace and miracle that was presented in this world by the birth of Christ, is a prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord for Christ and that gift of salvation. Right? But I get it. It's the season. The time is rapidly approaching where we join a long line of Christ followers who have for centuries remembered the arrival of God through the birth of his son Christ, Jesus. I get the sense that every now and again, for many of us, we need to be reminded of the wonder of this night and the hope, peace, joy, and love that it ushered into our busy, distracted, hectic, chaotic lives. To me, we need the reminder that Jesus is the heart of Christmas. It's all about him, it's all for him, and in order to fully embrace Christmas, we have to turn our attention to Jesus. Right? One of the things, we all have our favorite Christmas memories, I imagine. One of the things I love most about Christmas Eve was coming together as a family. When I think of being home for Christmas, I tend to think of coming home for the holiday, typically in college. Didn't really appreciate Christmas as much as a kid until I left and was out the house. And then I was, you're in college, you don't have much money, you don't have anybody to do your laundry. He'd come home for the holiday break and like, oh, it was good to be home, right? It was good to be home for Christmas, right? Coming back for the holiday, we'd listen to the Temptations. My mom would make her cookies, right? All my friends would come over, right? We'd be goofing around playing board games, and the house was loud and fun, and being home for Christmas really just felt like a big hug. There was no pressure to be anything or do anything at the time, right? It's more, it's different as an adult, right? We could just exist. We were home for Christmas, right? And some of you have similar experiences. For some, home was a place to belong, to a place where you knew that no matter what was going on in your lives, no matter what you brought in with you, you were loved, right? And I still acknowledge, though, but for some of you in assembly this morning, you didn't have that type of Christmas experience. Right? Maybe for you, being home for Christmas was not something that was accompanied by warm feelings or happy memories. Right? Maybe the idea of being home for Christmas actually brought with it a lot of pain and anxiety. Right? I know for our family, and since we last were amongst you, I guess, Caitlin's uncle passed. So you remember we asked you to keep Dennis in prayer, and we knew the time was approaching. Right, but he passed a few weeks ago. So for our Aunt Patty, even though she enjoys having her Christmas Eve gathering at her house of all of her children and grandchildren, it's going to be different this year. Right, the holidays can bring forth pain and anxiety for some. Home doesn't always feel like a place that is warm and greeting. And both experiences, no matter what your experience is, it's valid. I think both experiences, the good that I remember having, the tough experiences after a loss, teach us about the tremendous joy of celebrating the birth of Jesus and the overwhelming love of God. The fact is, we all long, as we go to Matthew chapter 1, We all long to feel like we belong. Like we're loved just as we are. Like everything is as it should be. However, our longing at times runs into a reality in the world we live in. All around us is brokenness, and many of us feel like we are alone at times. So there's a reason why we often feel like we don't quite fit. There's a reason why it seems like there's a void within us. This world is not our home. We're made for something greater. God's heart is for us to awaken to that fact. And the Christmas story, right, appears in the beginning of the gospel accounts in the New Testament. Each one has a little bit of different focus to it, but the book of Matthew is very intent on revealing Jesus as being the long-awaited fulfillment of God's heart and desire for his creation. Right, we spent our Bible study looking at, from the book of Isaiah, a handful of different times where God had already spoken to his children about his desire to bring forth the Savior. But now let us read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25 together. It's there in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, where it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Right. See, you know these passages well, I imagine, but the arrival of Jesus, as described here, was to save people from their sins. Right. That was what Isaiah was talking about in terms of God as a Savior. The world makes Christmas about so many other things, right? But its true meaning falls squarely on God's dealing with our greatest limiting factor. Sin is any way that we miss the intention God has for the world that he created it. It can be greed, it can be gossip, it can be unfaithfulness, hatred, etc., etc. We all fall short of the glory of God. We've all been subject to sin's evil influence and have the effects of sin's rule and reign. And God's heart of compassion moved him to send Jesus as the way of rescue for the world. The arrival of Jesus was so that God could be with us. It tells us Jesus was given the name Emmanuel. That's that verse 23 that I read. That is referenced in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It's Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, where it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." Right? This was a revolutionary thought here at the time of Christ's birth. Every culture surrounding Bethlehem saw their gods at the time as lowercase g, as angry deities who punished and corrected their subjects from afar. But this God so loved his broken creation that he wanted to come near. He became one of us with flesh and blood to mourn when we mourn, to hurt when we hurt, to weep when we weep. God identifies with us so that we are given the opportunity to identify with Him. And I've heard it put this way in terms of the way we need Jesus. Right? That when you think of the way we need Jesus, right, and God, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent forth an educator. Right? And if our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent forth a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent forth an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent forth an entertainer. Right? But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. Right? That's what we need is. A Savior is one who eliminates any barrier between us and God. A Savior welcomes us into a safe place alongside a God who loves us. This love of God is spoken of in a passage that's a bit unconventional when you think of your normal Christmas holiday sermon. But I'm going to use it. The book of John gives us a new perspective. You know the verse already. But the book of John gives us a new perspective of what took place in Bethlehem on that Christmas night. I'm talking about John 3:16. That's where the gospel says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that soever who believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And that story begins in the manger for us, right? In Bethlehem, right? Jesus, because of God's great love for us, He sends Jesus. You know, Jesus agrees to come. God sent Him, Jesus came. When Jesus came, He so clearly lived with an unwavering commitment to His purpose. In other places, Jesus left, or another way to think of it is that Jesus left His home to show us the way home. Right? Jesus gave up the splendors of heaven to walk in the brokenness of earth. Jesus laid aside His divinity to put on humanity. And He did it all for one reason, and that was to make a way for us to return home to God. Right? Have you ever been lost? Yeah. Maybe you found yourself in a place that you've never been before without direction. Right? One of the great questions of our time is that when we're lost seeking direction, rather than seek our answers from God, right, we make the original mistake, and we go to our modern version of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Right? We know that Eve gave in to temptation and took up the fruit. Right? And in our modern times, it's no longer a tree. There's still a fruit on the back of it. Right? That's become our source of knowledge. Right? Our pocket computers, they become an indispensable part of our lives. We don't go anywhere without our source of knowledge. Right? Just like God's word said in the beginning. Right? It contains both good and evil. Right? We know the story of these devices, the apples of our day. Right? Right? Our forbidden fruit, our apple of our day. Right? We know the story of college dropouts, Steve Jobs, Wozniak, Apple being founded in their garage. Right? It's part of this season. Right? They're trending towards $100 billion in Q4 earnings based on how big a part of our lives they've become. The holiday shopping on their devices. I don't think we're but maybe a generation away from them having their own day. Right? Where all of the people who worship this will come together and celebrate what a great blessing in their lives they believe this device is. Right? But it has the same trappings. Right? That it can pull us away. It can technically take you towards. Find a number of very good translations and audio versions of God's word on it. Right? But what do we know? Far too often, it pulls us away. Right? It sucks us in. Right? Nevertheless, I'm going to stop bashing the device before I lose my teenager. Nevertheless, far too many of us are living our lives without direction from God. We're carelessly making decisions that put us in danger and keep us farther from God. And Christmas should be a God's way of pointing us back to the place where we belong. Right? Refocusing our minds. Christmas is God's way of leading us back by His grace to our eternal family and to the source of our blessings. We don't have to live our lives lost and broken. Because God's great love has made a way. John saw the key, right, here, to finding our way back home to be our belief in Jesus. When we believe in Him, we save ourselves from perishing or being lost forever. And we're giving a new life that will last into eternity in our true home of heaven. Right, our belief in Christ is to be persuaded and confident that our lives are transformed and our words, our actions, our thoughts become dictated by our faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. This is a work we talked about this morning in our Bible study of allowing the Spirit to pour out like water over us and transform us. It's not something we can do on our own. This is why Jesus came to rescue us. He does the work when we submit to Him. It's our belief in Christ that allows us to live today as well as eternally. At the heart of Christmas is Jesus' invitation to join Him and experience the full life that's available through Christ. The mission began thousands of years ago, in a small Bethlehem town, but it continues on amongst us in our communities today. Of all the gifts you could possibly receive over the next 10 days, this gift, the opportunity of salvation, is the most valuable because it can save your soul. Right? I saw an author write this about a rescue plan that was unleashed at Christmas. So he's a military man. So he used military language. He captures the scene as, in my mind's eye, on Christmas Eve, I see a single commando tumbling out of the bomb bay doors of a B-52 at 30,000 feet. And he falls silently in the midnight darkness into enemy territory. And Satan sleeps, not knowing that he will organize a rebellion. The empire of sin will fall, not from without, but from within. And like a commando severely hurt as he landed from far above, who has no prayer capacity to mount an effective action, or for that matter to action at all, the powerful infant turns his face to ours, and what makes in that obscure stable seem like a crazy, impossible demand. Little baby Jesus says, "Join me. Come with me," right? And that's the call we have today. Will you join Jesus in His work in the world of rescuing all of creation? Right? Will you trust Him with your life and unapologetically believe in Him? God so loved the world that He sent Jesus in the form of a vulnerable baby, right, to begin a powerful movement that's still active today. What began, and I don't have my baby with me today, but like what began from infancy, what began in an unassuming cradle, led tragically to a Roman cross, we know that, but it ended victoriously with an empty tomb. I want to invite you this morning, to wrap up my message, to pray with me to receive the gift of God in Christ. Pray with me, Lord, for too long I've wandered lost in my life. I know that I'm a sinner, that I cannot save myself, and no longer will I ignore your invitation to join. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I'm ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart, Jesus, and be my Savior. Amen. You pray, Lord is willing and able if you will knock on that door. So I'm calling you this morning, if you're not a Christian, right, so if you are outside of the body of Christ, if you have not been baptized with a knowledgeable decision on your part, right, then as the Bible teaches in Mark 16:16, let us baptize you today. Let us completely immerse you in water for the forgiveness of sins so that you can make the decision and be welcomed into God's family. If you're not a member of this church, it starts by doing what we've done this morning, spending quality time with God, both in our Bible study and in our worship service, as your Heavenly Father wants you, his lost and needy child, to come and be welcomed into the family. If you're already in the body of Christ, but you recognize this morning you haven't been living in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, thank God for his mercy and start over today. Repent. Right, we talked about it in our Bible study. Right, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. We've all strayed away from that source of strength, from our core, right? Repent. Come back to doing the will of the Father before it's too late, while together we stand and sing the song of invitation. Careless soul.